Jesus is Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise God, Lord of all. And we thank God for that. We have a word this morning. First Sunday of the year. Amen.
Amen.
January 1st, 2017. We keep on moving. And God has us moving today, and in the scripture today, at 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And we're going to use 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and verse 12. They will be our foundation scripture for today for what the Lord wants to speak to us. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11 and verse number 12. As we look at these verses together, they read, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to use that as our foundation for a word that God has been impressing upon my spirit for a number of weeks, for this day, for this first Sunday of the year, this first day of the year 2017. And for weeks now, God has been impressing upon my spirit to preach this word, and the title of which is "Come Out Fighting." And not "come out fighting," but "come out fighting." F-I-G-H-T-I-N apostrophe exclamation point. Come out fighting. What is God saying? In a nutshell, is this. And we'll pray in a minute. It's not complicated. 2016 for many people was tough. For many people, 2016 was a tough year. 2016 was a year in which, even as a Christian, you may have taken some hits, some blows. The Bible says in Isaiah 54 and 17 that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And the only promise really there is that the weapons won't prosper. But the weapons will be formed, the weapons will be fired, and the weapons sometimes of the enemy will hit their mark and cause some damage in your life and in mine. God's promise, though, is that it won't prosper. Not that you won't get hit. I got hit in 2016. I got hit by some blows from the enemy. For those who say that they didn't get hit by any blows from the enemy, I don't believe that for a minute. But nevertheless, I believe for my own self and for many people that I know, if you are walking this walk of faith, then you are a threat to the enemy of darkness, and he's coming after you. And when he comes after you, he's going to form some weapons and fire some weapons. And every now and then, he's going to hit you. But the promise of God is that those weapons that are formed against you will not prosper. But sometimes they cause some damage. Sometimes it can come in the form of sickness or death or financial woes or relationship issues. It can come in so many different ways. But I'm not looking for a repeat performance from 2016. Amen. I'm not looking to go through the same things and to do the same things as in 2016. If you took some blows in 2016, and if I took some blows in 2016, that's one thing. But going forward, I confess this right now, neither you nor I are going to be a punching bag for the devil or anyone else.
Amen.
Amen. We are not going to be a punching bag for Satan and his evil forces or anyone operating under his spirit.
Amen.
But if that's going to be the case, it's going to require some change and some readiness, some preparation, some determination. And most of all, it's going to require the help of the Holy Ghost. Right? Because the Holy Ghost is our source of power. Jesus said that you shall have power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is not about you and I making New Year's resolutions and exerting our will. This is about the power of God operating in our lives. And so we're going to need to depend on and lean on the Holy Ghost. And I believe that what the Spirit of the Living God has been impressing upon me, and I just pray that I get it, you get it, we get it on this morning, is that as we come out of 2016 and go into 2017, God is saying, don't come out with your head down or with your head up in the clouds. Right? Don't come out half-hearted. Don't come out half-stepping. Don't come out discouraged. Don't come out disgruntled, fearful, or frantic. But God said, you're going to come out of 16 and go into 17. He said, I got three words for you. When you come out, you better come out fighting.
Amen.
Amen.
We need to come out fighting. And how are we supposed to fight? And watch this. Let's go back to the scripture. We're going to go back there quickly. Remember, it's our foundation. And the scripture says what? Fight the good fight of faith. So already somebody heard the preacher say, come out fighting. And see, they already ready to fight with people. Do you know that, what is this? It's 12 o'clock or almost 12 noon on January 1st. So the new year is not even 12 hours old. Do you know there are some people who have already had some fights? Do you know that? They've already fought with their spouse. They've already fought with their sibling. They already fought with their neighbor. They already fought with a stranger. They already fought with their parent. They already fought with their pastor. They had a fight. That's not the kind of fighting that God is encouraging us to do when he says, come out fighting. He says, come out fighting the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And God said, listen, it's the, and I praise God that the first day of the year is also the first Sunday of the year.
Amen.
Because what God is saying is, you and I don't have a moment to waste. In other words, don't try to get into this after a couple of days or after the, you know, you finish up the eggnog that you got in the refrigerator or after you eat the pig feet and you know how black folks, we eat some stuff on New Year that we never eat any other time of the year. Pig feet, black eyed peas, neck bones. Forget all that. God is saying from the first of the year, you already have crossed over, you already have come out of 16 and into 17, but you need to come out with a seriousness of mind and heart and realize it's a fight of faith and you need to come out fighting from day one. Why? Because the bell has already sounded.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The bell has already sounded. You can't stay on your stool in 2016 because the bell for 2017 has already rung. And so you better come out fighting with your hands up. Oh, this is going to mess me up. Not literally, but to fight the good fight of faith. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you now. We thank you now. We give you praise now for your word, for your spirit, for your power in our midst.
Yes.
Father, we're asking now, God, that you'll speak to our heart and our mind, oh God, that, Father, you would help us and cause us to understand what thus saith the Lord on this morning. Father God, we set our hearts to understand and to receive. And so, Father, bless us, O God, as we come with sincerity and earnestness to hear your voice on today. Father, we bless you right now that as you speak, our lives will be changed forever and for the better.
Yes.
And Father, we give you the praise and thanks for it in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for a listening ear among us all on today. I pray, God, that you'll use me for your glory. And Father God, that most of all, you will be magnified in the eyes of your people. And Father, we just thank you right now for giving us the word that we need to propel us into our destiny in you. And we give you the glory right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Come out fighting. Amen. Now, here's the funny thing is, right? Whose battle is this? Because the scripture does say to us, and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, right? Fight the good fight of faith. And so we understand something, right? That the life of faith that we have been called to is a call to a fight. It's a call to a battle. But there seems to be something that's inconsistent, or there's a paradox that I believe has confused and harmed many Christians along the way. Because see, at the same time that we see words like this in the scripture text, fight the good fight of faith, we also have been taught that God will fight your battles. And so we're caught in a paradox. If I'm supposed to fight, but God is fighting my battles, well, then which one is it? I want you to turn with me for a second to Exodus chapter 14, because there's something here that I believe is very helpful to us as we try to work our way through this paradox. Whose battle is this? You know, you hear people sometimes will tell you, you need to leave that alone because the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And yet, we are told here by Paul that we need to fight. And he said we need to fight a good fight. And so, but there's a paradox of this in a sense. It's a seeming paradox because on the one hand, God's going to do it for you. And see, sometimes people get lulled into a sense of complacency of, I don't have to do anything because God is going to fight my battles. And the scripture does say that. The children of Israel had just been freed from Egyptian bondage. You remember the story in Exodus chapter 14. And they came to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were chasing behind them. And the people began to get nervous and afraid because here comes Pharaoh and his mighty army after them. And in verse number 13, Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, verse number 13, it says, "Fear not, stand still." In other words, don't move, right? Stand still. Verse 14, it says, "The Lord will fight for you."
Yes.
So, what? Stand still. God's going to fight for you. And then it says, "And you shall hold your peace." The New Living Translation says, "The Lord shall fight for you. You need only stand still." So two times we're told, stand still. All you need to do is stand still. The Lord will fight for you. I believe where the paradox has harmed Christians is that sometimes they stand still because they say, "The Lord's going to fight for me."
Yeah.
Scripture says it. Scripture says, "Battle's not mine, it's God's." So right now, I'm just relying on God to fight my battles for me. You ever hear people say that? God will fight your battles.
Yeah.
But God, the same God who says, "I'll fight your battles," is the same God who, through the Apostle Paul, said that you and I are to fight the good fight of faith. So which one is it? But here's the thing. If we stop to think for a moment, we know that the children of Israel didn't stand still. We know that. We read the rest of the story. Right? We know that Moses lifted up the rod of God and God caused the Red Sea to part, and that the children of Israel didn't stay on the shore, but yet they crossed over on dry ground. Pharaoh and his army came chasing after them, and God made the waters, after his people were safely on the other side, come crashing down and drowned all of the army and the horses and destroyed the chariot. We know that. Mm-hmm. So we know the people didn't stand still. Amen?
Amen.
Even though the scripture says what? Stand still. Because mm-hmm. if they would have stood still, mannequin challenge style, then how many of you know they would have been destroyed or captured by the Egyptians?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we know from the story that stand still doesn't mean stand still.
Right.
But more than that, if we read the rest of the story after verses 13 and 14, we came to verse number 15. And verse number 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Why are you crying unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." So now, Lord, which one is it? Are they to stand still or go forward? Are they to go forward or stand still? Are they to move or stay here? Are they to stay here or are they to move? You ever been in that situation with God? Where you don't know whether you should stand still or move?
Yes.
Whether you should stay where you are or go forward? And I want you to know, there's no paradox here, because here's the answer. Which one do they do? You do both of them.
Yes.
And how do you do both of them? Because what God is saying is that you stand still in that as you face a challenge and a problem, you are not fearful, you don't panic, you're not in anguish, you don't have any anxiety, you're not discouraged, because you're believing that God is still sovereign.
Yes.
So in the midst of the problem, your spirit is still.
Yes.
I'm not going to get emotional. I'm not going to get frantic. I'm not going to start yelling and lose my mind and lose my head just because the bill has come, just because the eviction notice has come, just because the divorce papers have been served. I'm not going to go through that in my spirit. I'm going to stand still.
Yes.
Why? Because God is still sovereign. I'm going to stand still, but yet I'm still going to fight. And what am I going to fight? I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And what does that mean? That means I'm going to fight in the midst of my situation to hang on to the word of God.
Yes.
Why? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And so if I'm going to fight for my faith, I have to be fighting to hang on to that word of God. So God is saying to me, stand still, but fight at the same time. Don't get troubled in your spirit. Be anxious for nothing. My peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. See, that's being still.
Yes.
But yet I still have to fight for the word of God. I have to fight the good fight of faith. I have to fight to continue to stand on God's promises and to confess his promises and to believe his promises and to pray his promises and to live by the word of God. Because how many of you know, some of us, our biggest problems, and not just in 2016, but in our lives, have come when we've strayed away from the word. Because things came and we started making emotional decisions. We started making decisions that made sense. You ever do those? Make decisions that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, those decisions, you see, those decisions are so enticing and dangerous. They make sense to me.
Yeah.
Because decisions is not about whether the decision makes sense. It's whether or not that's God's will. Does it make any sense to walk around a wall 13 times, once a day for 6 days, 7 times on the seventh day, and then just yell?
No.
But that's what they did in the Bible. And the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Can you imagine when Joshua got that plan from the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord gave him that plan, and he sat there and said, that doesn't make sense to me. He would have never done it. So listen, I don't care if it doesn't make sense. Do you know there are some people who, by the leading of the Spirit of God, quit a good job with no other job to go to? And their family told them, that doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But they went out there and are successful and continue to be thriving up until this day, because even though it might not have made sense, it was the will of God for their life.
Yeah.
Don't make your decisions based on whether it makes sense from your point of view, my point of view, or someone else's, because our points of view are limited. But we make the decision based on whether or not God has said it in His Word, or He spoke it to you in your spirit. And that's what we have to fight for. We have to fight to continue to live by this Word of God. I love the scripture here where it talks about that these Egyptians that you've seen today, you will see them no more forever. In verse number 13. But how many know Egyptians and Egypt symbolize bondage for God's people?
Yes.
Right? And so, God is saying, the people who put you in bondage, you will see them again no more forever. How many of you know when you got saved, that same promise God made to you, the devil who had you in bondage, you will see him again no more forever.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
The devil that you have seen, the devil who was tormenting you, the one who had you hooked on drugs and had you hooked on alcohol, the one that destroyed your self-esteem, the one who just made you feel worthless and that you weren't, that nobody liked you, nobody loved you, that you never amount to nothing, the devil who just had you all tied up in knots. When you got saved, God said, that old Egyptian that you have seen all your days, you will see them again no more forever.
Jesus.
I'm so glad for that scripture, but yet I understand something. Egyptians always come back.
Yes.
Because see, once the Pharaoh let the people go, he came back.
Yes.
Egyptians always come back. They change their mind, and they come trying to get you. See that evil spirit in the Gospels where he got cast out of the man, and then he walked around in the dry places looking for somewhere to go, and he couldn't find any place. And then he went back and he saw that the spirit of the man that he used to inhabit was now cleaned and swept and garnished. And what did he do? He came back and took 7 more with him.
Yes.
And then the scripture says the state of that man was worse than it was the first time. Why? Because Satan always comes back.
Yes.
The Egyptians always come back. But God's made a promise unto us that the Egyptians we've seen will never, we'll see them again no more forever. I'm not going to stop here, only to say that there's some Christian Egyptians. No, what I mean by that, because see, here's the thing, and this is part of the fight for faith. There are some people in your life who are Christians, and yet they have the spirit of the Egyptian. What do I mean by that? Because they will tell you things about what you should do that makes sense, but they're not in line with the Word. What are you talking about? In other words, somebody does something to you, and they will tell you, they'll say something like this: well, I don't know how many times I could forgive them, because after they've done that, that's it, I'm cutting them off.
Wow.
See, you gotta fight, you gotta come out fighting against that, because that's an Egyptian trying to bring you back to the way you used to think.
Yes.
Because the Word of God said, how many times, Lord, should I forgive a man? Up to 7 times? I say not unto you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Huh?
Amen.
That means you just forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive. No limits. No cutting people off. But there are people around you who know the Word of God, but somehow stray off it and now start doing their own thing with it. You can't do something to me only by so many times. Where did that come from? We got to be mindful of this stuff and come out fighting. I'm sorry. I don't care what the Egyptian looks like. If it's Satan and his cohorts, or if it's somebody who's called by the name of the Lord. Either way, it has to be in line with the word of God. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. I'm fighting for the faith.
Amen.
I'm fighting to hold on to the word of God. Because everything that has come into my life, or mostly everything that has knocked me down and beat me up and has tried to steal things from me, and to the extent it's been successful, it's because I wasn't fighting the good fight of faith the way I should be. I just gotta take accountability.
Yep.
Amen. I ain't giving Satan no credit. Right?
Right.
I'm not giving him no glory. It's because God is saying to me, son, you weren't fighting the good fight of faith hard enough. Daughter, you weren't fighting the good fight of faith hard enough. You sort of veered off. You took the gospel, but then you started putting your own spin on it.
Wow.
Forget spin on the gospel, amen. If it's not out of the word of God, I'm not listening.
Amen.
Glory to God. Oh, my goodness. Brother Lesson, 2017, some people aren't going to like me because... If you're not talking the word of God to me in 2017, you might as well just keep on stepping. I ain't listening. I'm fighting for the faith.
Amen.
Because how many of you know the devil is trying to get you and me off of the word of God?
That's right.
And he can do it subtly. Amen. He can do it through people who are close to us. He can do it through people who are mortal enemies to us. But no matter who he tries to use, we have to come out fighting and saying, I'm holding on to this word of God.
Amen.
Whatever comes against me, I'm holding on to the word. I'm not trying to figure it out. I'm not trying to think it out. I'm not sitting down with you at Starbucks and trying to talk about it. If it's not based, my conversation is not based on the word, it's a useless conversation.
Jesus.
You don't have to be all like that. You need to loosen up.
That's what I'm talking about. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's scripture. What you just said, where is that? You understand what I'm saying?
It doesn't have to be all that.
By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how are you and I supposed to live?
Every word.
By every word that proceeds out of Pookie's mouth.
No.
Out of Big Mama mouth.
No.
After TT and Nene and them. No. Out of the word, out of the mouth of God. So listen, if God hasn't said it, I don't even want to say it to myself. I'm talking to myself. Amen. I got to tell my soul, get my soul in line with this. My mind, my will, and emotions. If you want to say something, soul, you better talk the word of God. Amen. We got to fight for the faith. Where's your victory going to come from? It's going to come from the word of God.
Yes.
It's not going to come from your connections, your hookups, your physical strength, your willpower, none of that stuff. It's going to come from the word of God. And do you know something? That in the end, this fighting for the faith, this fighting to live by the word of God in everything that we do, is really a battle for the truth when you think about it. Right? Because if fighting for the faith means we're fighting for the word, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word, then that fight is a fight over truth. Because Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, sanctify them by thy truth. And he said, thy word is truth. So what's the truth? The truth is God's word. And so this fight for the faith is a fight for the word, which means it's a fight for the truth. And why is that so important? Because Jesus also said that the truth will make you free. So do you understand now how we can get ensnared when we get off of the word of God? When we come away from the truth? Because if truth makes you free, anything else is putting you in the devil's trap.
Yes, yes, yes.
And no. Ding, ding, the bell has gone off. 2017. And God said, come out fighting. Come out fighting for the word of God so that you don't be ensnared.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So that you don't be ensnared. There are some people who are ensnared right now. There are some people who are trapped right now. They feel hopeless that they're not moving forward. And even worse than that, there are some people who are going backwards. They're being brought and dragged back into Egypt by Egyptian way of thinking. But we have to fight against this thing. We have to continue to fight the good fight of faith. I want you to write just the scripture reference down. You can look at it later. But Jude 1 and 3. And Jude only has one chapter, I believe. So, but Jude 1 and 3. The Bible says there, earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. That means purposefully, diligently, steadily contend. Fight for the faith. Fight for this word of God. When the devil starts whispering things in your ear and people start giving you advice that is from them and from Dr. Phil and from books that they read and all this stuff and it's hand-me-down wisdom, fight. Say, no, I'm not listening to that. I love you.
Yeah.
Do you know Job had to tell his wife off? Are you still going to maintain your integrity? He said, you talk like a foolish woman.
Yeah.
He probably slept on the couch after that. But I'd rather sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
I'd rather sleep on the couch because I'm following God than to sleep next to a foolish woman. But you understand? He told his wife, you talk like a foolish woman. He said, should we accept things from the Lord and not accept the things that happen to us that aren't to our liking? And I'm paraphrasing, but that was his point. We have to fight. We have to fight for the faith. Amen? Because the devil, his whole point is to get you and to get me off the word of God.
Amen.
That's the whole point. The whole point of the argument between you and your spouse, it ain't about leaving the toilet seat up. It's not about burning the toast. It's not about how you let the kid always talk to you like that. It's the stuff that's going on in your job. It's not about all those other things that seem to be. It's about Satan using anything he can to distract you and to get you off your point.
Yeah.
And get you away from living according to the word of God. That's what it's about. And God says we need to come out fighting for this thing like we never have before. Because I believe that 2016 was the year of the great distraction.
Wow.
Oh, there was so much stuff going on in 2016. All we have to do in this country is look at the election process.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Oh, my goodness. There has never been an election cycle like this. And all it's been is, and it still has left scars on people. It's ruined relationships. It's done all kinds of things. And yet, here today, I don't care who the president is, there's still only one king. And yet some people now are talking to each other. There are people who are hating on each other because of this. It was nothing but a big, gigantic distraction. We got to fight for the faith. Amen. We got to fight for this word. Now some people, I don't believe we got to do all that fighting. For the word of God is true. And the word of God is true, right? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that I am God. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. Deuteronomy 3 and 22 says, you shall not fear them, for it is the Lord your God who fights for you. So, preacher, why are you telling me I got to fight? God said he's going to fight for me. Okay, that's fair enough. You gave me some word. Let me give you some word back. If you aren't supposed to fight, why did God give you weapons of warfare? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of stronghold. If you're not supposed to fight, why God gave you weapons of warfare?
Right. Amen.
I'm just asking the question like you asked me a question. If you're not supposed to fight, why did Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, exhort Timothy and exhort us at the same time by saying war, a good warfare? I'm just asking you the same question, amen? Because that's in the scripture too. If you aren't supposed to fight, why did God give you his whole armor?
That's right.
And gave you the sword of the Spirit, which just so happens to be what? The Word of God.
Amen.
So if you're not supposed to fight, why do we have weapons of warfare? Why do we have armor? And why, oh why, oh why, did God put a sword in your hand? I'm telling you, because we're supposed to fight, but we're not supposed to fight carnal. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'm not fighting against you. I'm not fighting against you. I'm fighting against the enemy, but I'm fighting to hold on most of all to this Word of God. When I feel like, you ever feel like giving up on the Word because you just say, what's the use? That's the enemy saying that stuff to you. You gotta say, devil, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm going to believe the Word of God. We have to fight for this thing. So yeah, stand still in your spirit. Free from anxiety, amen. I'm not going to worry about this thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm not going to start complaining. Oh my God, when people complain, it displeases the Lord. Numbers 11 and 1. It's not highlighted in your Bible. Make that the first highlight of 2017, amen. When the people complain, it displeases the Lord. Complaining is the opposite of faith, right? Mm-hmm. But faith pleases God. That means you're believing him. You're believing his word. You're complaining. Oh, my goodness. Amen. You got off the word of God. Mm-hmm. So we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen?
Amen.
If you're still in Exodus, I want you to look at something in Exodus 13, because we were in Exodus 14. And if you're still there, you won't have to turn. If you do have to turn, you can just turn back to where you were. Because here's an interesting thing about this fighting. If you are not ready to fight, to come out fighting for the faith, contending for the faith earnestly, if you don't want to do that because it offends your sensibilities, or because you simply believe that you're to sit there and God is supposed to do all the work, I'm just saying, if you believe that God's just supposed to do it all, he's going to deliver me, he's going to help me, he's going to fight my battles, and so what are you going to be doing? Just sitting there? See, if you believe that because for whatever reason you're not ready to fight, willing to fight, or you just say, I don't believe I'm supposed to fight, see, that may explain why you're wandering in the wilderness. Watch this. What are you talking about? You just making that up. No, I'm not. Look at the scripture in Exodus 13, verse number 17. It says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. But God said, lest peradventure the people repent or change their mind when they see war and they return to Egypt.
Yeah.
See what God said? The scripture tells us that there was a shortcut to the promised land. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was go through the land of the Philistines. And that land was near. But God said, I'm not taking them through there. You know why? Because the Philistines were a warring people. They were expert at fighting. And God said, I'm not bringing them through the land of the Philistines, even though it's near. Because once the people see how these jokers fight, they're going to change their mind and want to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
So what happened then? They had to wander around. They had to take the long way. And of course, in taking the long way, they then messed up even more by not believing when God said it's time to go over. And God said, fine, you're going to stay here for 40 years. Mm-hmm. But God didn't take him the shortcut. And how many of you know that God is the same God, the Lord I change not. He is not taking us the shortcut if we are not prepared to fight.
Amen.
He said, because once you see, oh, glory to God, do you know that every promise is occupied? The promised land was occupied. Your promised land is occupied. And it's occupied by people and spirits that don't want you to have it.
Yes.
And so God said, I can't bring you to your promise right now because them jokers who are ready to fight you for it, you ain't ready to fight them.
Wow.
Because you're too busy relying on your common sense. You're too busy, amen. You're too busy taking my word and watering it down. And I need you to contend for the faith, to stay on my word and accept no substitute. And until then, I got to take you the long way around. I don't understand, Lord. How come it's taking me so long to get my house? Because maybe you ain't ready to fight the enemies who don't want you to have a house.
Because
wow. Once you see that enemy up there, the bank are telling you, your credit score is too low. Or whoever it is. Amen. The people in the neighborhood who don't want your kind moving in. God said, you ain't ready for that. Because once you see that, you may change your mind and feel that a studio apartment is just fine. So guess what? I'm going to take you around. And he took the children of Israel around. And do you remember that when they were on this side, Jordan, before they crossed and went into the promised land, they had two fights with the king of Og of Bashan and the king of Sihon of the Amorites.
That's right.
That's it. They had two fights. But if you read Joshua chapter 12, it let you know that once they got to the promised land,
yep.
Oh my goodness, you go and read that, they had 31 fights. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
So God had to take them around in the wilderness, and he gave them a little bit of action. Right? He gave them a little bit of action. They fought two fights. They fought Og of Bashan, and they fought Sihon, king of the Amorites.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when they got into the promised land, they had 31 fights. Because now they were people who were ready to fight. And they knew that if I'm going to live the life that God has for me, it takes me to have a willingness to fight.
Yeah.
To fight the good fight of faith. Amen. And I don't know about you, amen. See, God don't have any Amorites for you to fight. He don't have any Amorites, no Jebusites, no Hittites, no Brooklynites. He don't have none of them. But what he has, amen, the devil is out there, and he's working directly against you. He's working through other people against you. He's working through circumstances against you. And it's all designed to get you off the word of God. Some of the things you went through in 2016 was to prepare you for 2017, but in order to get it, you got to come out fighting. That's why I'm ready to fight. You ready to fight?
Yeah.
I'm ready to fight.
Amen.
I'm ready to fight for this word of God. I'm ready to fight and go about everything in my life this year according to this word of God.
Amen.
Because I can stand here, if I had a mirror, I would say to myself, Jeff, you know what? Too many times you was making decisions based on your own stuff.
Wow.
So too many times you was making decisions and asking God to bless it after you already decided to do it. Am I alone or is it just me? It's just me. It's just me. I just made decisions and I just wanted God to bless it. And see, and I didn't do all this, amen. Oh, I got the prompting in my spirit. The Holy Spirit told me, slow down. And I sped past the stop sign. And I'm just determined now. I'm fighting a good fight of faith, brother. Like, I ain't holding on. That's it. Simple. Simple. Did God say that? Did God say that? Amen. If I'm having a conversation with somebody, they go, well, you know what? If I was you, I think... Well, first of all, you ain't me.
Amen.
That's number one. Some of the I was you things, amen. Kick it to the curb. If I was you, no, first of all, you're not me. And then when you tell me what you think I should do, I'm going to ask you, did God say that? Is that in the Word too? Because if what you're saying to me is not in the Word, then I'm not listening to you no more.
Amen.
Doesn't that make it simple? I think you should date him. He got nice hair.
So bad.
Did God say that?
I think you should quit your job because they don't treat you right.
Did God say that? Because that person tell you to quit your job, I tell you this, when the money is low and bills are due, you ain't going to be able to find them.
Amen.
They're not going to return your text. They're not going to return your phone call. They're not going to return your instant messaging. They're going to block you off their Facebook wall.
Amen.
I'm not listening to anything coming from any source, even myself. If it's not what God, I'm contending for the faith. Because that's the only way I'm going to win.
That's it.
It's the only way I'm going to win. And here's the thing. God has taught us some word, hasn't he? Amen. He's spoken to you. You know the word of God. You do. You love the word of God. You're a student of the word of God. You read the word of God. You purpose to live by the word of God. But what God is saying is, you gotta fight for it now. Why? Because God says, amen, that the devil's going to come after you harder, number one. But second, I got so much better for you in this year than last year, but you ain't going to come anywhere near it if you're not willing to contend for the faith, to fight the good fight of faith. So watch this. Everything you, I'm talking to myself too, everything you do, say, or think, it's going to be in line with the word of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Everything you do, say, or think is going to be aligned with the word of God. Everything you do, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everything you do is going to be in line with the word of God. Everything you say is going to be in line with the word of God.
Yes.
The centurion told Jesus, amen, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Amen. You don't need to say anything except the word of God. You mean that's the only thing I got to go around quoting scripture? Don't be so precise with me. You know what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is you don't say I can't when God says you can't.
Amen.
No one's saying you need to be quoting from Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus. But what it's saying is don't speak contrary to what God has said.
Amen.
If God has called you a winner, don't you dare call yourself a loser. If God says you're on the top, don't you dare accept being on the bottom or somebody telling you that you're going to be on the bottom.
That's right.
That's not what God has said. That's what I'm talking about. And so when you say something that's consistent with the word of God. Amen. How about that?
Amen.
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 Speak the word only. Say I can. Say I'm more than a conqueror. Say the greater one lives in me. Speak the word only. Amen. And if God told you a promise, he said, listen, I want you to get it from here and move to California. It doesn't matter. Nobody in our family lives in California. I think you're making a mistake. You can think that, praise God, mother, I love you and all that. You can think that, dad. You can think that, sis. You can think that, brother. But guess what? I'm going to California. Why? Because I got a word.
Amen.
And I'm saying what God says. Huh? And if you want to think something, then think about think about it being in line with the word. Do you know what Paul told the church at Philippi? He said what? He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, all that. Is there any virtue in anybody think on these things? Do you know what he said? The first thing, whatsoever things are true. It all starts with the truth. So if you want to think something, think according to what God has said.
Amen.
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 I'm not fighting you today. Oh, here you come. You want to start a fight.
You looked at me funny.
I did. Well, I didn't know I looked at you funny.
But you did.
Okay.
You ain't going to say sorry?
No, here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not having this conversation. This conversation is a life stealer. It's not edifying. It's not helping me. So I said, sorry, if you mad, okay, I'll see you. I'm leaving.
But you just got here.
And I'm just leaving. Amen? We're going to fight for the faith, amen, to live by the word of God. We're going to close here, but as God was speaking this thing to my spirit, I mean, this was weeks ago, He said to me, and I'm not a big fight fan. I don't know, Christian, if you're a big fight fan, a boxing fan. No. I'm not a big boxing fan, but God just spoke to my spirit about the instructions that the referee gives to boxers before the match. And again, I'm not a big boxing fan, but I know those instructions are, you know, they bring them into the ring and it gives them those last instructions. And so I started to look up and I started to research different places. I thought I could easily find this, right? What do referees say to boxers before the fight starts? So I started looking around, I thought I would find a nice script or whatever, and what I found out is that there's no script. That every referee has their own little flavor and they say their things, but there's no set things like this is what you're supposed to say. So I was a little frustrated about that, but then a couple of days later, God said to me, he said, find out what the referee said to Mayweather and Pacquiao. Because that was like the fight of the century, right? Remember that? That was like the fight of all fights. It turned out to be a bad fight, but in terms of the build-up, it was the fight of all fights. And so I went, and I'm looking for the instructions, amen, that the referee gave to Mayweather and Pacquiao. And praise be unto God, I found it. Thank you, Lord. And I found it on YouTube, and I played it. And I played it, and I stopped, and I wrote it down on top, and I read it, and I said, I got to get this. And here's the thing. That fight was in the making for years, wasn't it? They said those two guys should have fought for years and years and years. And the legalities and the love of money got in the way and all kinds of things. But finally, the fight that people were waiting for years had now been made. They sold tickets. Right? People flew in from out of town. People flew in from across the world. And here Mayweather and Pacquiao, they trained and they trained and they trained for this fight to end all fights. And now they get into the ring, and the referee comes up, and he brings them up together, and the first thing he said to them is this. This is a fight. I thought that was strange, but I'm thinking, why do you have to tell them that? They're in the ring with their gloves on. They've been preparing for this for months. It's been in the making for years, and the first instruction you have for them is, this is a fight. But then I paused for a minute and I got chill bumps and I said, I hear what you're saying, Lord. Huh? Because here's the point. See, you now have come out of 2016 and you come into 2017 and God has four words for you to start off the new year. This is a fight.
Wow. Amen. Wow.
Amen. Jesus.
Oh, wow. Glory to God. Amen. This is a fight. It ain't no plaything.
Jesus.
Amen. It ain't no messing around thing. It's no half-stepping thing. What you are in right now, brother, sister, son of God, daughter of God, what you are in right now, this is a fight. Mm. First instruction. That's the first instruction of the new year from God. This is a fight. Mm. But then he went on. I go, oh my God, this is a fight. Then this is what he said next, brother Len. This is what really got to me. This is a fight. Then he said this. That the world's been waiting for.
Wow.
Did you hear Sister Vanelle this morning talk about that there's some things that the hand of God is on you that other people, because other people need to see it? I'm telling you right now, the world is waiting for me to get into my fight and to win.
Jesus.
The world is waiting for you to get into that fight and to win. You say, oh, you being arrogant. No, I'm not being arrogant. I'm being submissive to the word of God. God has put greatness on the inside of all his children. And the world is waiting for you to win your fight. I'm telling you right now, I've got to contend for the faith. Not just for me, but there are people in my life who I know. There are people who I don't know. There are people who I met. There are people who I will never see.
Yes.
Who are going to benefit from me winning my fight.
Yes.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Wow.
So this is a fight that the world's been waiting for. I'm telling you right now, the world is waiting for you to get into your fight and to come out with the victory.
Amen.
The world is waiting for me to come up and to be what God has called me to be before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen. But I got to realize I'm in a fight. And the world's been waiting for this fight. Amen. And when you finally get off your stool, ready to contend for the faith, I'm telling you, amen, the whole world, trees and mountains and rivers, amen, are all going to take notice. Oh, he's ready now.
Yes. Amen.
Then the third thing he said, first thing, this is a fight that the world's been waiting for. And then you know the third thing he said to them was, your world changed. You don't tell me God's not speaking. This is a fight that the world's been waiting for, and then he tells his children, your world changes.
Wow.
Huh? You are more than a conqueror. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, which is based on what? The Word of God. So we contend for the faith. We are world champs. We are overcomers. Don't let nobody tell you, amen, God has called you in the middle of the ring. And he told you, this is a fight. The world's been waiting for it. And you are a champ. Glory to God. And then he wasn't finished. And then the fourth thing he said was, keep the fight clean. Don't fight dirty in 2017. Keep the fight clean. You don't need to fight dirty. You have the Word of God. Let everybody else backbite. Let everybody else gossip. Let everybody else try to elbow you and get you out your thing. Let everybody else, Sister Patricia, cut you off on the road.
Yeah.
You don't need to fight them for concrete.
Amen.
It's amazing how many people fight for concrete. You won't fight for these children. I'm not saying anybody here. But you won't fight for your children, but you'll fight for that concrete. Car tried to come out of the McDonald's parking. You ain't getting in front of me. You fight for concrete, but won't fight for your children.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. Forget that. Keep the fight clean. No need talking to your spouse or your neighbor or your sibling and bringing up stuff that happened 23 years ago. Keep the fight clean.
Amen.
How does a young man cleanse his way? By paying heed to the Word of God.
Yes.
Psalm 119 and 9. Mm-hmm. Amen. You got the Word of God. You can keep it clean. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You don't got to get cross-eyed. You don't got to say some nasty stuff out your mouth. You can keep the fight clean. Why? Because you're speaking the Word of God. That's the fourth thing he said. Keep the fight clean. And then the fifth thing he said was this. Protect yourselves at all times. That's one thing I find that's always in these referees' instructions. Protect yourselves at all times. You hear what God is saying to you? Protect yourselves at all times. This is a fight. Protect yourselves at all times. Don't let your guard down. Because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he shall devour. And he doesn't take time off. Protect yourself at all times.
Amen.
Amen. Protect yourself at all times. Let that word, amen, guard your heart and your mind. Protect yourself at all times. As I was reading about this, it's an article about Floyd Mayweather. He got into a little bit of controversy because he was fighting somebody named Victor Cruz. And what happened is that he was beating up Cruz for the first three rounds, and Cruz got frustrated. Mm-hmm. So Cruz, bam, boom, and he headbutted him. And so the referee came and stopped him and everything, right? Stopped him, and then went to, you know how they go to the judge, 1 point, 1 point, 1 point, right? They deducted the points, right? And so then watch this. And so then after that, the referee called time back in, and they touched gloves. Now, usually you touch gloves, that means it's back on, right? And so they touched gloves, but the referee turned away. And so Cruz turned away, see what the referee was doing. And Mayweather said, "Pow!" And Mayweather knocked him out. And afterwards, Cruz was complaining. He was like, "No, that wasn't right. We touched gloves, but the referee wasn't even paying attention." And Mayweather said, "Protect yourself at all times."
Yep.
Why? Because I see instruction. You in the ring. And what you in the ring for? What was the first instruction? This
is a fight. This is a fight.
Don't be looking to see what your neighbor doing. Pow! And then you're going to start complaining that the devil's not playing fair. This
is a
fight. Protect yourself
at all times.
Amen.
And then the last instruction he said to them was, come out fighting. Amen. Don't come out lollygagging. Don't come out ready to debate. Don't come out sightseeing. Don't come out seeing who's in the crowd. Amen. This is a fight. Come out fighting. That's what God is saying to us. Amen. This is a fight that the world's been waiting for. Your world champs. Amen.
Amen.
Keep the fight clean. Protect yourself at all times. You understand the instruction? Yes, I do. Now come out fighting. Amen.
Amen.
So we're coming out fighting in 2017, but we're fighting for the faith.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're contending for the faith,
Amen.
For the word of God, to live by this word and by nothing else. Amen.
Yes.
Because that is where we find our victory.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and pray this
morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for your word, O God. Hallelujah. Father God, you are encouraging, imploring, exhorting us to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes, Lord.
To contend for it.
Yes.
Glory to God. With everything we have.
Yes.
To live by your word. To block out the distractions, O God, and the disturbances from wherever they come from, whatever the source. But Father God, to look to you, to look to your word, and to hold on to it, confess it, live it, pray it. God, to let it be our guiding light. Father, we thank you right now, God, for just encouraging us, oh God. Because you let us know we're in a fight, but you told us we're world champs. We're overcomers.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're more than conquerors.
Yes.
So Father God, let us go forward, oh God, and fight this good fight of faith, keeping it clean, doing it according to your word and nothing else.
Yes.
Father, help us through your Holy Spirit to be more faithful than ever before.
Yes, Lord.
Help us through your Holy Spirit. Teach us, oh God, even the more. Take us deeper into the word of God.
Yes.
Reveal more of yourself unto us, not only in your word, but Father, in our prayer closets. Reveal yourself unto us, oh God.
Yes.
Let us know what your good and acceptable and perfect will is for our lives. And let us accept no substitutes. Father, we thank you right now, God, that we are victorious people. We thank you right now, God, that the best is yet to come. We thank you right now, God, that as we come out fighting in 2017, oh God, that Father God, we have the help of all of heaven on our side.
Yes.
To live this life of faith that you have called us to. Father, we thank you right now, God, that as we go forward on this day and on this year, oh God, that Father God, we are contending for the faith.
Yes.
And through your grace, through your love, through your spirit, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be victorious on every hand.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now. The best is yet to come. Miracles are set to come into our lives, oh God, and power is to be released in our lives, and a special anointing is going to be released in our lives, God, but not because we simply desire, not because we have itching ears and our emotions have been tickled, oh God, but Father, it's because we know we're in a fight for the faith, and we are determined to live our lives according to the word of God, as the people of God, and nothing else.
Yes.
Father, we just thank you right now. Glory to God for all that you are about to do in our lives on this year. And we give you the praise and the thanks. Father, seal this word now inside our heart.
Yes.
Father, we know that the enemy is going to come quickly and try to steal the word that you have sown
And so, Father God, we ask you right now to put a guard around our heart. And, oh God, just that you're ministering angels around us, oh God, and guard us by your precious Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That, God, that this word may stay in us, take root in us, and bear fruit in our lives. And Father, we thank you right now for doing it. And we give you the praise. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. We're going to have communion and then we will.